It's good to stand here. And as I look around, I see a lot of familiar faces, some of which I've known for almost 40 years, and some of which are fairly new to me as well. But we are all one church, one body. And so that's the focus today. And so we start by looking at question and answer 55 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And I know that we looked at that a few months ago with Pastor Jason, but let's try and do that again. If you want to find it, it's in the inside cover of your bulletin. And so I'll ask the question and then let's together recite the answer. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, the believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. And then we read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and we read from chapter 12, the verses 12 through 26. And Paul writes here, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." This is the word of the Lord. So this is now the third time this year that I'm preaching on the same text and the same topic. And yet in each case, the circumstances are quite different. And as a result, the sermon is different each time as well. See, the first time I preached on this topic was my last time as pastor of the congregation in which I had served for over 5 years, and which I was leaving on under an Article 17 separation. Now, an Article 17 separation occurs when neither the church nor the pastor is under discipline, but there are reasons for the pastor to leave. Now, such a separation can be initiated by the pastor, by the church, or by mutual agreement. And my separation was by mutual agreement. See, it was necessary for me to leave, as at that time I was no longer capable of leading the church, the congregation, as its pastor. And yet, I was convinced that during my time at the church, fruit had come. And so it was important for me to ease the concerns of many in the congregation and reassure the congregation that God was and is and continues to be in charge of that church. And we were able to end that service with a celebration of the Lord's Supper, displaying the unity of the body. Now, the second time I preached this text was to a congregation that I hardly knew at all, but which also had recently experienced an Article 17 separation of church and pastor. And in this case, the church had initiated the separation. And there's still a lot of pain, both for the pastor and for the congregation. And so it was important for me that this church get a perspective of a pastor who has experienced an Article 17 separation, and that the church know that even under the best of circumstances, there is pain associated with such parting. And it was also important for me to relate to that church that God works through the various members of the body, both past and present, and that He remains in charge of the church. And I wanted to encourage the members of that body to use who they were for the benefit of the body as a whole. Now today, the circumstances are quite different. I was recently welcomed as a member of this body, of this church family. But in truth, I had been associated with this congregation since it was first formed 40 years ago. I worshiped with this congregation in its first year as a church, and I became a member and joined it full-time when I was 14. And I've known many of you since that time, and many of you know me as well. And this church has shaped me. And I trust that I had an effect on this church as well. I've personally known all of its pastors and many of its leaders. And each one of those was different in their own way. Each had an impact on this body. And in turn, the body had an impact on them. And I need to add that each of you also have an impact on this body, the church family. Here's just a few ways some of you have impacted this body. When I was still a teen, one of you taught me about stewardship, that it wasn't just a matter of finances, but that all our gifts and the gifts of the whole church were supposed to be used to serve our master and the body, and the world around us. When I was involved in the cadet program, one of you introduced me to someone with mental disabilities who still had needs to be accepted as a person and who also had gifts to share with the body. Now, at that time, I was unable to see that through. But today you have a thriving friendship program, and participants of that program have given much to this church, to this body. Since I left this body to become a pastor, a number of our young adults have shared that they are attracted to and in a relationship with a member of the same sex. And that, too, has an impact on this body, one that might still be growing. Clearly, I am leaving out so many different things that so many of you have brought to this body, But I'm convinced that each person here was and is supposed to be here a member of this body. And how do I know this? Well, for one, the church isn't the pastor's church. The church doesn't belong to the council. The church doesn't belong to the consistory. The church belongs to God. The church belongs to God the Father, who created us in His own image. The church belongs to God the Son, who was willing to die on a cross so that we could be His. This church belongs to God the Spirit, who works in our hearts so that we believe, and even today shapes, molds us into the people that we were created to be. And this church is part of the worldwide body of Christ. It is a local embodiment of the one who gave His body for our sakes. Now, we just read a passage from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that speaks a lot about the body of Christ. Just one chapter earlier, Paul speaks of the body of Christ when he talks of the Lord's Supper. He began by strongly chastising that church in Corinth for the way it celebrated the Lord's Supper in a very divisive way. See, some people started early and they ate and they drank until they were drunk, while others came late and found the jugs and the plates emptied. And this upset Paul so much that he reminded them of Jesus' own words instituting the supper. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he continued with Jesus' words about the cup. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." He reminded the church that every time they celebrate the Lord's Supper, they proclaim Christ's death and resurrection, something that's not to be taken lightly, but something that affects their very salvation. And he then encouraged that church to take the Lord's Supper seriously. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." And it seems that Paul here is clearly using body to refer to Christ's physical body that was crucified, buried, and resurrected. But he continues to speak of the body as he urges people to examine themselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. He says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." And suddenly it becomes less clear what Paul is speaking of when he's speaking of the body. Is Paul speaking of Christ's physical body or of his metaphorical body, the church? See, clearly the Corinthian church didn't consider this metaphorical body too important, as they demonstrated in their celebration of the Lord's Supper. Now, I didn't go into this chapter on the church's celebration of the Lord's Supper to caution us. No, I brought up Paul's discussion of the body of the Lord to set a context for a text in 1 Corinthians 12. See, it is clear in this chapter that Paul is now speaking of the metaphorical body of Christ, the church. And he loves the church. He loved the very church he chastised in the previous chapter. And he says, "Just like my physical body is unified, so the church is unified in Jesus Christ. All of us here are part of this local body of Christ because we have been led here by God's Holy Spirit. And just like my physical body is made up of many different parts, so is Christ's body, Ebenezer. See, people here have had many different experiences and many different roles in the community. Now, some people don't mind one bit being in the limelight, and others would be horrified of having to speak in front of more than two people. Many people in this body have talents for worship, and others worship well with a lot less talent. And some people have gifts of teaching and leadership, and others are still learning where their talents lie. Some people work well behind the scenes, but not in the foreground. Some people are good at keeping others informed, and others use that information to support others in often very quiet ways. Some people read a lot and have a variety of perspectives on many issues, while others take a perspective and they do things. See, this body, which may seem quite homogeneous to outsiders, is really quite diverse. And that fits well with Paul's description of the body, which has feet, hands, eyes, ears, noses, and a huge variety of other parts. And even those which at first glance seem to be weaker are considered indispensable. And the parts that are less honorable are treated with special honor. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. And when one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices. And that may be difficult at times, but that is true. After all, the entire body breathes in and breathes through the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Yet there's one more aspect of the body mentioned by Paul that deserves our consideration, and we see it in verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And we see it mentioned again in verse 24. But God has combined the members of the body. Now, while this is true of our physical body, it is also true of the metaphorical body, the church. It is true of Ebenezer. See, if Paul could speak so well of that church of Corinth, which he has just reamed out for disavowing the body in their celebration of the Lord's Supper, how much more would he be able to say the same thing for the church in Leduc? God has perfectly arranged the parts of the body. Now, since I learned that I would be leaving Iron Springs through an Article 17 separation, I've been thinking quite a bit about this aspect of the body of Christ, the church. If God has arranged the parts of the body, then what happens to us if we part ways with that local body? What happens to the local body when we leave it behind? And I've now had some experience of leaving behind a body. See, I first left Ebenezer in order to pursue studies at seminary with the blessing of this very body. I then left a local body to pursue a call at a different one. And now I've left a church with no sense of where I am heading. And it's disorienting for me. It's almost as if I don't quite know where I belong. And yet, I see God's arrangement of the body. I saw how different people contributed to the life of the body in the churches I served. And even now, I don't know the full impact of the people that God has placed in the body and in my life. I'm still learning to see this. Now, I have no doubt that you who are part of this church have also been brought here by God Himself. I don't always know what purpose God has for you in this particular body, just as I don't always know the functions of the different parts in my own body. But I wonder, if God has arranged for each of you to be a part of this body, what role does He have for each one of you? How do you serve the body of Christ? How do you serve the whole body of Christ in the world? And then there's the vice versa of that question. If God has placed you in this particular body of Christ, then how does this body feed and grow you? I have a few more thoughts as well. Over the years, I've seen people leave the church. And I wonder, did we make these parts feel unwelcome? Were they chased out? Or did they simply not care for this body? And what does it say about a church if a 20-something or a 30-something no longer participates in the body? And like me, you may yourself have many more questions about the parts of the body. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. I saw this in Iron Springs. And I see this here in Ebenezer as well. Now, this time I want to just say a few words about the pastor that God has provided. See, when I first heard that Ebenezer went such an unusual route to find its new pastor, I wondered, what's going on? But then I've had the opportunity to watch Pastor Jason in action, and I realized that he is a gifted pastor. His sermons are first class. See, one of the things that I regret about my training as a pastor is that we often get critical of other pastors as they preach. And yet, listening to Pastor Jason's sermons, I haven't had that experience. And he interacts well with seniors, with adults, with teens, with children. There aren't many pastors who can do that well. Now, it's quite likely that just like me, Pastor Jason has some weaknesses as well. And I ask you not to focus on those as you embrace him. Instead, accept the complete package that God has given us in Pastor Jason. Receive him as a gift from God. Now, in a few months, he will be examined by our classes, and likely he will be ordained as minister of the Word in the Christian Reformed Church. And at that time, you will be asked to welcome him as your pastor. Receive the Word of God proclaimed by him and encourage him in the discharge of his duties, and you will be asked to pray for him. And I know that many of you are already doing so. And I hope that all of you will make this your promise. Our passage tells us that God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And I encourage you to reflect on that as you consider this body, this family of God. If God has arranged for you to be a part of this body, how then do you serve the greater body? How does this body serve you? And think about all those people that God has arranged to be a part of this body with you. How does this arrangement affect the body moving forward? I trust that you will keep all of this in mind as you together strive to be the body of Christ in this place and at this time. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this body of Christ that you have arranged to be here. Bless it in so many ways and allow it to be a blessing to our community and to the world around us. Amen.